Lord, we thank you for Rachel and the gift of speaking and the passion for this particular topic that you've put in her, more than a topic, a way of being. And I pray, Lord, that what she speaks to us today will really go into our hearts and then out into our lives. So we pray that you'll anoint her again with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Wow, it's good to see you. Today, we are wanting to take the opportunity to stir up something that we feel could be very important for Ripley and the surrounding area, very important for all of us. And it's something that all of us who are followers of Jesus can be involved in, whatever our circumstances are. And it's something that is an enormous privilege to be part of. And what I'm talking about is blessing and God's call to us to bless other people. Now, I don't know what springs into your mind when you hear the word blessing or bless, but it's not unusual actually to hear it out and about day by day. You know, what about if someone sneezes? Bless you is an instinctive, very common reaction in response. All sorts of weird and wonderful reasons and theories why that might be. Did you know that? All to do with plague, even evil spirits and demons and all kinds of things. Or more likely simply because a sneeze is often the first sign of some kind of illness. But mostly that sort of bless you is just words spoken from habit, an instinctive reaction. But then what about the bless you that's a bit more like a thank you? You know, like when someone carries your shopping or sends you a thoughtful message or just helps you out in some other way. You might just say, bless you. Or what about, do you hear bless your cotton socks? My granny used to say that all the time, a term of endearment, affection, and affection, maybe a little bit patronising sometimes, it just depended. Where it comes from? Well, I was going to say I have no idea. I have a bit of an idea, but it really doesn't matter. But we do hear it, I think. Bless her cotton socks. Actually, it makes me feel quite... can hear it in my granny's voice. Then there's the more recent habit that's more like a, oh, bless. Do you hear that around here? We heard it all the time in the South, where we come from. When something's cute or a kind of expression of sympathy, maybe... Oh, bless. Yeah. Then, of course, there's good old Tiny Tim's God bless us, everyone, and the American presidential God bless America. Well, I could go on, but you get the idea. We hear and we say bless and bless you in all sorts of ways. And if we're not careful, it can become a kind of throwaway comment, a bit like loose change in our pocket. Even meaningless. But blessing is a very strong theme throughout the Bible, and it's hugely significant. And there is, I think, a need for us to reclaim what blessing is all about and what it means. Now, John and I have been privileged to have had contact with a place called Faldybrennan over the last couple of years. I think some of you have heard of it. It's a Christian retreat house in Pembrokeshire, in a beautiful Welsh valley. It's a place where they have experienced just a wonderful outpouring of God's blessing and grace in all sorts of ways. And if you're coming on Tuesday evening, we'll tell you about how we first ended up there and how God dramatically healed me. But that's going to have to wait for Tuesday evening. There is a book written about what's been going on there. It's called The Grace Outpouring. Has anyone read it? Yes, a few of you. Well worth a read. Really inspiring and quite easy to read, isn't it? But one of the things that's been a massive part of what God's doing there is to do with blessing. And a lot of what I want to share with you this morning is inspired by what we've heard and seen and then gone on to experience from what's happening there. So, as I said, blessing is a very strong theme throughout the Bible. You could almost say that the biblical story of blessing is the story of everything. You know, from the very beginning, God's heart is to bless us. In Genesis chapter 1, when he created man and woman, he spoke blessing over them. This is Genesis 1, 27 and 28. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Through that blessing, right at the very beginning, we see what human beings were created for. That's what you and I were created for. A relationship, a place, and a purpose. The relationship with the God who made us and loves us, a place where we belong, and a purpose that gives us a role of responsibility, of care and nurture in relation to everything and everyone around us. Fruitfulness and multiplication are part of the blessing, and there is ample provision for all possible needs. You know, that's the picture that we get at the beginning of Genesis. However, in Genesis 3, through the fall and the choice of man and woman to turn away from God and his ways, we see that blessing being lost. And instead, we see the opposite come into effect. Curse instead of blessing. The loss of relationship with God, the loss of a place of belonging. There's a scarcity of resources, and from then on, fruitfulness and multiplication is challenging and painful, and our purpose is distorted. And the life that we were created for is lost, but the longing in our hearts for that life remains. Because, you see, the stream of God's blessing was designed into the very foundation of our lives, every single person. And we can't help but desperately long for that relationship, that place, and that purpose. We were talking with home group leaders a couple of weeks ago, and we were realizing amongst us just how many people we meet are really seeking for something, even if they can't put into words what it is that they're looking for. And really, it's because we are all yearning for this sense of being meaningful, of having that place of belonging, of having a significant purpose, of being known and loved, and of being blessed by the God who created us. It's what we were created for, that relationship, that place, and that purpose. And as the Old Testament continues to unfold, we see that God's desire to bless remains. You remember the flood and Noah's ark? Well, Noah and his ark are carried through the floodwaters by God safely to a new place and a new start, and that blessing is renewed. This is from Genesis 9. Then God blessed Noah and his sons and told them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth." And he gives them power and responsibility over all of creation, just like the blessing at the beginning of Genesis. This is new hope and new promise and a fresh flow of blessing with the rainbow in the sky. Then just jump on a little bit to Abraham and God's great promise to him in Genesis 12. He says this, "I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And the blessing is repeated again. Genesis 17, "You will be the father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And the whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you. Do you see that there it is again, the blessing of God that's about relationship. I will be your God and the God of your descendants. About a place of belonging, I will give you the whole land of Canaan. And it's about purpose. And the purpose is to be a blessing. Now, we could take a few hours to make our way through the whole of the Bible. That could be fun. Well, for me at least. Bit time consuming though. But let me just say that God's desire and plan for the flow of his blessing comes through again and again and again. But let's now fast forward to the New Testament and to the person of Jesus. Jesus, who is the fulfillment of that promise that I've just read, made to Abraham, that all peoples on earth will be blessed through him. Jesus, who through his death and his resurrection, destroyed the power of that curse rooted right back in Genesis 3 and the fall, and threw open the gates of heaven for all of us. Now, you remember that as Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The barrier between earth and heaven is removed, and the possibility of the flow of God's blessing is released. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Every spiritual blessing in Christ. And God's desire is to bless us, not just a little, not just a lot, but outrageously and abundantly beyond anything we can ask or imagine. You know, heaven is full of blessing. There is no pain, no suffering, no poverty or lack, no injustice or oppression, no broken relationships, no fear or hatred. There's no unforgiveness or regret. Instead, there is love and mercy and grace and healing and wholeness and fullness and freedom. And the fullness of the blessings of heaven is what you and I are designed for. And that is what we are ultimately heading for. But we're invited not just to hunker down and wait, but to pray for the coming of those blessings of heaven on earth right now. Now, every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's exactly what we're doing, is saying, "May the blessings of heaven be real and present here and now, right where we are." So we are invited to pray. But along with praying, we are also invited to actually minister that blessing to others. Let me explain what I mean by that. I'll need to take you back into the Old Testament for a moment, where we find the beginning of priestly ministry. This is in Deuteronomy chapter 10. "At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister to him, and to bless in his name to this day." So this was their role: to stand in the presence of God, worshipping him, to carry the presence of God, which was represented at that time by the Ark of the Covenant that they carried, and then to proclaim blessing in his name. And in the reading that we heard from Numbers earlier, God gave them instructions as to how this blessing worked. it said, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And then we get this incredible verse. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. You know, God gives the priests the power to speak the words that release the life-transforming blessing of God himself. This is not just about words, far from it. It's about unleashing in the here and now something of the fullness of the blessings of heaven. So what's that got to do with us? Well, in Jesus, all that Old Testament priestly ministry finds its fulfillment. He's called our great high priest, and it's through him that all the blessings of God are available to us. We receive blessing from him, forgiveness, grace, mercy, healing, wholeness, peace, all those things. And in him, we have a part to play in ministering that blessing to other people. In our second reading this morning from 1 Peter, it talked about us being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood. And then a bit later it says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. We talk about this as the priesthood of all believers. And if we truly believe in Jesus as our Saviour and Lord, we are adopted into this priesthood. And we have a calling and a responsibility and an incredible privilege to participate in Jesus's ministry of blessing. Do you know, this is amazing stuff if we really get hold of it. You and I, if we join in with this, can be part of changing this world. And don't you long to see this world transformed by the blessing of God? So how might we do that? Well, do you know, I think it can be incredibly simple. As simple as saying, I bless you in the name of Jesus, that you would receive then whatever it is that you want the person you're speaking to receive from God. It might be grace or mercy or peace or forgiveness or healing or a job or a restored relationship or many other things. The blessings of God extend to every aspect of our lives, body, mind, and spirit. If you've got that leaflet, you're allowed to look at it now, the leaflet headed Bless Ripley. If you just open it, we've put this together for you to take away with you, to help you to get involved in this, if you will. In the middle there, you'll see what I've called the blessing acrostic. I think it's on one of the PowerPoint slides. Really, this is just to help to think about all the different areas that God might want to bless someone with. So on the left is the word bless, B-L-E-S-S. And there's the body, health, protection, strength, labour, people's work, the work of their hands, the things that they do with their time, their emotional well-being, their social relationships, and their spiritual life and wholeness. It's just a way of giving some ideas of all the ways that we could speak blessing into each other's lives and into other people's lives. You know, God is interested in everything. And you know, we can do this face to face, one to one. Why not practice on each other? Speak it out. Or you could write it down and then give a gift of blessing to someone. I know someone who did that to their neighbour who was just bowled over by it and wanted to know much more about Jesus and what this was all about. Or you can do it at home, sitting in your armchair, or lying in bed, or out walking the streets, or here in church, and visualize the blessing of God being released. Now, further on in that leaflet, you'll see that there is a much longer blessing for Ripley that we've put together, and we're going to come to that a bit later in the service. So if you can restrain yourselves from looking at it now, we'll come to it. I think it is important that I say that however simple it is, and it really is, when we do this, it must never just be about going through the motions. Never just about saying the words. Now, I know I keep diving into the Old Testament this morning, but there's a bit in Leviticus which I think is really helpful on this. These verses come from the very beginning of Aaron's priestly ministry. Aaron, who was alongside Moses, so very early on. And there's been, as there often is, a very detailed description of all the various sacrificial offerings that Aaron's supposed to do. And then we're told this. Then Aaron lifted his hands towards the people and blessed them. And having sacrificed the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the fellowship offering, he stepped down. Okay, so at that point, he's done everything that he's been told to do. But you know, you get the impression he's just going through the motions and it doesn't have any effect on anybody. And then we get this, so you guess, I can just visualize it. Moses kind of grabs Aaron and drags him off. And we're told this. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. So this is the place of meeting with God. When they came out, they blessed the people. And just listen what happened. The glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. That's quite a different response. Because the priestly role begins not with speaking the words of blessing, but if we can go back to the previous slide, Elaine, is that possible? There, but we're standing in the presence of God. And that is true for us as well as it was true for Aaron and the priestly ministry in the Old Testament. You know, we need to be people who know who we are as children of God, who spend time in his presence, focused on him, worshipping him, just as we do together on a Sunday morning. Then we become carriers of the presence of God, just like the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. And then as we speak the simple words of blessing in the name of Jesus, God's blessing is released into the lives of those around us. Do you know, we can all do this. And it would be amazing if we did all do this. I'm convinced that it would make a massive difference to individuals and to Ripley as a town, and beyond even. You know, God's desire is to bless, and we have a part to play in releasing that blessing. And let me tell you just a few quick stories of things that we've experienced that just might encourage you. There was Norma. Norma, who had had a kidney transplant a good few years ago, and she'd been living with just that one kidney. Now, she'd been told that it was failing and that there was nothing that the medical profession could do. And she came to me, and I remember just blessing her in the name of Jesus, quite simply, that her kidney would start to behave itself properly. We actually had a bit of a giggle, actually. And then I didn't think anything more of it. A few days later, I had a phone call from her, and she could hardly get her words out. She said she'd gone and had further tests and been contacted by the hospital, who said, I said, we've no idea what you've been doing, but keep doing it. Your kidney is performing properly. Isn't that brilliant? Then there was Georgina. Georgina suffered from scoliosis, that curvature of the spine, and her right leg twisted in and her foot twisted right in, very strange angle. She really struggled to walk. And I met her at a conference, and at the end she asked me to bless her. So again, I just simply blessed her in the name of Jesus with healing and restoration. Honestly, I wasn't expecting very much, and indeed nothing seemed to happen. Until, that is, a little while later, I was walking along the road. We were all leaving the conference, so I was walking to where our car was parked, and I heard my name being shouted. And there was Georgina, standing, surrounded by a group of people, and she was jumping and wiggling and giggling. And, you know, as she had walked very slowly along the road, leaning on her stick, struggling, she'd become aware that her foot was starting to straighten. And she began to be able to walk without her stick. And then she straightened up more and she started to stride along. And, you know, I'll never forget, she just couldn't stop. She was there wiggling her foot and then jumping and walking backwards and forwards. It was fab. God's blessing is just amazing. So that's just an example of two individuals. But here's another example, and this is of blessing a place. Before we came here, many of you all know, we had six churches in a group of villages. And we allocated one village to each member of the ministry team to bless. Now, one of them took it really seriously. She was amazing. She didn't live in that village, but she went out of her way to drive to that village. One day I was passing by, she had no idea I was there, and I saw her standing beside her car, her arms raised, speaking blessing over that village, and she did it over and over again. And by the time we left, it was that village was where new life was starting to bubble up in just all sorts of ways, where the community and the church were starting to work together in new ways. A new Christian head had been appointed at the school, and there were signs of life and hope and a desire for mission, signs of God's blessing just popping up all over the place. It was like the spiritual temperature had just risen in that place. Now, we have received here prophetic pictures of a mighty river of blessing flowing through this church, through the other churches in Ripley as well, through the streets, up to the doors of the houses, to the businesses. And there have been prophetic words about God's people coming together and blessing being released. Back in July, it's not that long ago really, is it, when we first came across the advert for the vicar job here, that night I dreamt about blessing spoken and released, flowing through this church and transforming Ripley. And I dreamt of you, even though I didn't know you then, in your homes and streets and places of work and in this building, speaking blessing, and not just speaking it, but releasing the blessing of God. So I'm trembling as I'm standing here, because this is something that I believe that God is calling us to at this time in this place, not just as a one-off thing or a good idea for this morning, but to become part of our ongoing way of doing things. And I know actually that I'm not alone. It's been an enormous encouragement to me that two or three people in the last few weeks have spoken to me about this, thinking that we could do it, which is great. And you know, the more of us who are involved, the more impact there will be. So please do take it seriously. Last week, John and I were on holiday, as he said. It was wonderful. But on Sunday, whilst you would have been gathered here, we did a bunk off church, didn't we? And on Sunday morning, we went to Ladybab Reservoir and then beyond. And we were standing at the base of Derwent Dam. looking up at those two towers that look so much like church towers, and then that massive wall holding in that great reservoir of water. I'm guessing a lot of you know what I'm talking about. Yes. And as we stood there, we talked about God's blessing and how desperately we long for the church to be full of blessing, but also for that blessing to pour over rather than be held in like by that wall of that reservoir. And you know, as we watched, the water started to spill over and trickle down and then start to pour down the wall. It was quite exciting. But then as I stood there, I remembered the last time I'd been there, which must be well over 10 years ago. And at that point, I think it was in the autumn sometime, and the waters were crashing down like a torrent, deafening and powerful and incredibly exhilarating, and we got absolutely drenched. You know, sometimes I'm just so saddened by the reputation of the church in this country. How we're so often seen, I think at the very least, as irrelevant and outdated and inward-looking, and at the worst as judgmental and condemning. Blessing is such a brilliant antidote to all of that. You know, God never, ever intended his church to be the source of judgment and condemnation. Yes, we are to challenge people to turn away from sin and to turn towards Jesus. But we are primarily called to be a channel of his blessing, to reveal the heart of the Creator God to his creation, to bless and not to curse, to bring people home to where they belong and to the God they belong with, the God that they've been seeking for, whether they know it or not. And so I am praying with my whole heart that blessing will flow from our church here and throughout this country, like that mighty torrent that poured over Derwent Dam all those years ago. And I pray that all of us, every one of us here, would be able to play our part in bringing God's just incredible, abundant, let's say torrential blessing to transform the lives of the individuals that we meet, of the community, of the town of Ripley. Amen. Let it be so, Lord. Amen.
Please would you stand if you can. We're not going to do this part of the service in the normal way we do it. So in place of our intercessions and creed and things like that, I would invite you to have in your hand the Bless Ripley thing, but you needn't look at it yet. Just going to take a moment of silence and ask you to consider whether you will commit to this wonderful commission which Rachel has just given us. Just to think of the possibilities for you and you doing it and for those around you receiving blessing. Loving God, we thank you for this message of blessing, that we can speak blessing into our communities. Lord, we pray that you would help us to grasp it and help us to learn how to do it. We pray that as we do, we will see lives blessed and changed, and your kingdom coming in this wonderful town of ours. We pray in Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen. We do normally have intercessions now, and I would encourage you to be praying for many situations around the world, not least at this time for the whole situation in Nepal after the earthquake there, and for the dreadful loss of life that's been happening in the Mediterranean, that something could change that situation, and also for the upcoming elections here. But today, we're not going to do that together in church. What we're going to do together in church is to read out together the blessing for Ripley that you'll find on the right-hand side in the booklet there, on the inside pages. So we're going to read this together. This is something which you can take home with you, please do, and you can make this your own or change it to however you'd want to, add, subtract, whatever. But today, at this point, following on from what Rachel has brought to us, we are going to pray this, or speak this, to Ripley in the name of Jesus. So we say together, Heavenly Father, we stand in the authority that Jesus gives to us, and in his name, we speak to every person in Ripley and the surrounding area, and we say, we bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We bless your homes, that they may be safe and filled with peace and joy. We bless your relationships, that they may be strong and healthy and loving. We bless all families and every relationship between the generations in each household, that there may be peace and love and understanding flowing between each one. We bless your marriages, that they may be loving, forgiving, and life-giving. In the name of Jesus, we bless every network of wholesome and supportive friendship in this town. We bless your health, that you may be strong and well in body, mind, and spirit. In the name of Jesus, we resist any sickness or disease which seeks to invade this town. To any who are sick right now, we say, we bless you with healing and freedom in the name of Jesus. We bless your resources, that you may have plenty instead of poverty. We bless you to have enough to live and enough to give. We bless you with employment. We bless the work of your hands, that whatever you turn your hand to that is wholesome and good may be successful. We bless the local schools, that they may be secure, safe places for teachers and pupils. We bless the children's capacity to learn and develop good relationships, that they may grow and thrive and become all that they have been created to be. We bless the businesses in this town, that they may prosper in every way that is good and wholesome. We bless all who work here, that your working relationships may be fair and honest. We bless this town with a thriving economy in the name of Jesus. We bless the hospital, the medical centers, and the care homes, that they may be filled with compassion and grace. We bless all who work in the caring professions, that you may be resourced and refreshed and renewed. We bless all those involved in local government, the police, and other public services, that you may receive the wisdom of God and prosper in all that serves the best interests of this area. We bless all the churches in this town in the name of Jesus, that you may be fruitful in every way. We bless your ministry, that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God may flow out from you in power, and speak to the hearts of all who live in this town and bless you, that you may be softened towards God and that you may hear and respond to his call. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we speak to our town of Ripley and say, we bless you with the fullness of the blessings of the kingdom of God. Amen.